If psychology and pop culture had a baby, they'd call it the Shrink Tank Podcast. Our illustrious panel of shrinks analyze and psychoanalyze what's happening in entertainment and pop culture. We're coming to you live from Nashville and Charlotte. I'm Dave Verhagen in Nashville. I'm a psychologist, an author, and a very bad magician. And our regular panel's all here. Frank Gaskell, he's a psychologist. He's the author of the popular Max Gamer graphic novel. He's also our resident insane person who's usually worked up about something. And I think I'm reading that you're worked up from what I can see there on the old video feed.
Well, I've learned a lesson. It's a lesson I did not want to learn. I have an iPhone, and I would not put a case on it because it bothered people. They would say, you got to put a case on that. I'm like, no, I don't. And it really bothered people. Well, I dropped it and broke it. And I thought, oh, maybe I should have gotten a case. So then I went and got the screen replaced. And a day later, I dropped it and smashed it because I hadn't gotten a case. So now I have a case for my phone, and it bothers me, and I don't like it. So there's that.
All right.
You all can wake up now after that story.
Sounds like one of my stories.
Well, the story would go like this for me. Like, I dropped my phone and broke it. I don't have a phone now. So good for you.
Wow.
Good for you.
Get another job.
Frank's story is, I broke my phone and got another one. Then I broke my other phone and got another one. And then I broke my other phone.
And then I
bought a case for it too. And now I hate it.
Good story, Frank. Tell it again.
Hilarious.
All right. Emma Kate Wright is also here, and she's a pre-doctoral intern in psychology. And Emma Kate, we talked last episode that you are about half a year away from being Dr. Emma Kate. And so once you become Dr. Emma Kate, are you going to flaunt that? Are you going to walk around and like make everybody call you doctor?
You know, I think I probably will for the first like week or two, only because I'm going to be Dr. Wright.
I think every time somebody says that, I'm going to have to leave the room because I'll be laughing too hard.
Dr. Wright. Well, but were you not excited when you got your degree?
No, it's just
I guess you're just
usual,
you know,
thing.
Usual
for me.
Frank.
Yeah.
Pay for it over the phone
negative,
and it arrived.
Yeah. There didn't really care.
There it was. But yeah, no. So I'll be excited about it, but I'm sure it'll wear off after a while.
You'll be strutting around.
Yeah.
With those suspenders, holding those suspenders
That's
out.
Right. That's yeah. right.
Well, Jonathan Hedley's also here. He's a counselor and a critic and a sarcasm all-star. And Jonathan, anything interesting been going on in your life besides before you tell us about our news stories?
You know, other than the Trump rally that I went to, although I took pictures of one of my daughters with some Trump memorabilia on, and now I have the ability to like blackmail her for the rest of her life.
Oh, that's good. That's
yeah,
real
that's
good.
Great.
But we actually did this one shot it may still be in the Shrink Tank article I wrote. It may not. It may have been asked to be removed by my daughter, but I put the Trump hat on her head and I said, look scared like there's a spider crawling on your head so you're petrified and scared at the same time. And it's a great shot that she's got like a little tractor Trump hat on and it looks like she, you know, her clothing is about to attack her.
Well, Jonathan each week follows popular stories that have to do with psychology, and we call these stories Being Human.
So this first Being Human segment highlights, in an ironic plot twist, new research suggests that smart people watch dumb movies. So according to a recent study published in the journal Poetics, it's the smartest people who love the dumbest movies. So what's surprising isn't that the Sharknado series turned out to be a hit, but that the results of the study found that the majority of people watching the films are highly educated and, by all accounts, smart.
This makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Dumb people don't get the joke. Smart people do. Dumb people don't get irony. Smart people do. I'm glad to have read this because it validates a good part of my life. And they actually noted that The Toxic Avenger, which is a hilarious movie, I'm actually going to go see a play of The Toxic Avenger in October here in Charlotte at the Actors Theater.
Well, I would agree with Frank that I can see how this makes perfect sense. I personally like trashy movies because they are hilarious. One of my favorites is Snakes on a Plane. It is by far one of the crappiest movies, but you get to this point when you're watching it, we're like, okay, this is good. This is really good.
So does it work the other way? That if, like, is it a predictor of smartness? Like, if you are smart, you will yes. like these?
Well, no. It's not a predictor, but if you go to the theater and you see the people in the theater, you know that they're all smart. It's kind of like the old adage. Just because you're abused.
It's kind of like the old adage.
Silence is golden.
It reminds me of the old adage. If you're a child and you're abused,
what?
It doesn't mean you're going to become a stripper. But if you're a stripper, we can pretty much assume you were abused. So it only goes like that one direction, just like movies and intelligence.
Spoken like a smart man that watches dumb movies.
Yeah, right there.
And watches strippers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but ironically. I'm only watching you strip ironically.
Because I get the joke.
I get the joke. Here's a one. All right, so moving on. In a study conducted by the University of Chicago, Michigan State University, and Indiana University, researchers show that the U.S. ranks number 7 in empathy in the entire world. So the ranking involves over 100,000 adults across 63 countries, and researchers found that higher empathy countries also had higher levels of collectivism, agreeableness, conscientiousness, self-esteem, emotionality, subjective well-being, and pro-social behaviors. And they highlighted about in the last 20 years, generally in the U.S., people are focusing more and more on themselves and on others less.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as a whole, we can all agree that the U.S. is more of an individualistic country. We think a lot about ourselves and how we can be successful in our own right versus, like, Japan and other Asian cultures, as Heatherly would know. No, they're more collectivistic. And so there's a lot of focus on being respectful with one another. But what I found interesting about this was a couple of things. There's the Eastern European countries they talked about. 7 out of 10 were the least empathetic. And they mentioned that empathy, the country's empathy did not seem to be related to war or aggression with other countries. But they didn't distinguish that empathy in other countries or empathy to other countries from empathy to other people.
Say that again.
Okay. Empathy to other countries versus empathy to other people. Because think about it. You know, Russia's over there doing all these crazy things. And so maybe some of those countries aren't going to be as empathetic to Russia per se. Okay. I don't know.
I thought it was interesting. Yeah, very, very clear.
Yeah, I
fully understand
articulated
all of those words
that well.
Do you think we're becoming less empathetic though?
Yes.
Yeah.
As a country, you think so?
Because we're all a bunch of you all are a bunch of narcissists.
Well, maybe not though, because we're in this like very PC world where it's like, oh, we got to care about everyone's feelings and be sensitive to that. So maybe we're almost moving in a different direction.
I think that we as a nation are kind of right on the margin. So there's a lot about us that is very individualistic, but there is a part that is very collective. Whereas I think all the countries that rank higher than us, they lean more towards collectivism at the expense of individual rights or kind of following hopes and dreams at the expense of taking care of family, community, village, rice fields, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I like the whole empathy of Saudi Arabia when they behead people that commit a crime.
Well, they get rid of all the individuals. So mm-hmm. then they rank high mm-hmm. on the, yeah. you know, community and empathetic nations.
All right. Interesting. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's going to be our trending topic. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast.
Hey, Jonathan Heatherly here, wanting to tell you a little bit about the book Liberia's Son, written by Dave Verhagen. Dave, tell us a little bit more about this project, this book.
Well, I found a guy, I is a person that I ran across and have become friends with actually in this whole process, named UJ Harris, and he's a man who, when he was a kid, grew up in Liberia, West Africa. It was, he began his life in poverty, and then his family, his mom, worked her way into a good situation just in time for the Civil War to start and break out in Monrovia, Liberia. And they were literally lined up in front of their house by government soldiers about to be mowed down. And through a minor or major miracle, they escaped that. And then they had to get out of the country. And the journey out of the country was incredible. I mean, just the things that they faced, the hardships, the near death experiences that they had. So when I heard this story, I was like, we absolutely have got to write this story. So the book is UJ's story of going from poverty in Liberia to living as a child through civil war to coming to America and doing very, very well. And you'll find out what that means if you read the book. And
I'll tell you, Dave, when I read this book, it meant a lot to me because it like I really related to my time in Monrovia. I really did. Yeah. And so I appreciate your work on that.
Growing up as a poor African child for you, Frank?
On your island.
100%.
Yeah. On your moon. It is definitely, I know that I'm biased, but the story is so good, I definitely recommend you buy it. You can pick it up on herohousepublishing.com, or it's available on amazon.com. So I hope you go there now and check it out. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. Dave Verhagen along with Jonathan Hederle, Emma Kate Wright, and Frank the Psych Weasel. And our trending topic today is the fall and winter movie preview. We're going to talk about movies that are coming up and what we're looking forward to and what we're predicting in terms of box office and award consideration, all that kind of good stuff. So let me just give you a couple of the movies that are coming up that people are talking about that they're excited about. And then the second part, we'll talk about some movies that are getting some early Oscar buzz. So some of the movies that people are excited about that we're hearing are Doctor Strange, the animated film Trolls, Mel Gibson's return to the directing chair in Hacksaw Ridge, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, Arrival, which is a sci-fi movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is in the Harry Potter canon, and an animated film called Sing, which is already getting promoted like crazy, and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So besides Rogue One, Frank, any of those movies or other movies that you're personally excited to see?
Well, Rogue One for sure. And I don't know when this comes out, but is Passengers, is that a fall film?
That's a Christmas Day film.
Okay, great. I am beyond ecstatic about that film. It's with
Chris Pratt
and
Jennifer Lawrence.
They're on a spaceship and they're all sort of cryogenically asleep. There's a 120 people or so, but these two awaken 9 years too soon, and the trailer is amazing. But there's a little teaser in the trailer right at the end where Chris Pratt says, I have to tell you something. There's a reason we woke up early. And I'm like, oh my gosh, chill bumps.
And the reason is we have to ride the space elevator down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's here.
Chill bumps, huh? Wow.
Chill bumps. Hey, that film, by the way, was originally, the script for that film was on something that's called The Blacklist. And these are movies that are great scripts that didn't get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And that script has been kicking around for a number of years. It was just a great script that everyone loved, but no one picked it up until just recently. So the movies that get made off that list tend to be really, really good movies.
Well, and also I want to add one more movie is M. Night Shyamalan's Split. Oh my gosh. That trailer freaks me out, and it's also kind of upsetting because I work with a guy on shrinktank.com named Sean Beck who looks exactly like the creepy guy in the movie Split, and it's like he has 23 different personality disorders, and he kidnaps these girls, and it looks great.
So he looks homeless?
Homeless and, yeah, bad.
Got it.
Emma Kate, how about you? What movies?
I'm actually going to change up the genre a little bit here. I'm looking forward to Bad Santa 2. Yes. I know it's just like a stupid movie, but I know it's going to be funny.
Well, you're smart because you like stupid movies.
That's right. I like stupid movies, so I must be smart. No, but it's, you know, the first one was really great. A lot of, you know, dirty humor in there, but I'm just looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good comedy.
All right. How about you, Jonathan?
There's two movies I'm really looking forward to that stand out. One is Arrival. It's directed by Denis Villeneuve. He did Sicario and he did Prisoners, and it looks like a sci-fi drama that's more in the vein of Close Encounters of the Third Kind or Contact. But the other movie I'm really looking forward to, and I'm sure everybody, if they haven't heard about this film, they're going to hear about it, is La La Land. And it is written directed by Damien Chazelle, who wrote and directed Whiplash. And it is an old school, full blown musical starring Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. And it has just been getting crazy great reviews. And I loved Whiplash. I thought it was an amazing film. I love everybody involved in this. I love musicals. So to me, it just sounds like this movie was made for me.
I bet you like cats too.
I don't like cats.
I bet you did.
No, we eat cats.
The
we
musical.
Don't like them.
No, you eat dogs, too.
Whiplash was your favorite movie of that year, 2 years ago, right?
No, it came in second behind Boyhood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that great movie. You know, there's the movie I refer to, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, and I'm going to get those technical specifications wrong on this, but what is fascinating about that movie is that Ang Lee, who you know Ang Lee, he's the guy who did, I mean, he's done all kinds of stuff. He did
Crouching Tiger,
Crouching Tiger, right. Great director. He has shot this film on, you know, like, what is the average film speed? 24 frames per second or something like that. And this is like something like four or five times
it's
faster.
120 frames per second.
There you go. So it's five times faster.
Why?
And so, and then it's shot for the real big screens, and it becomes such an immersive experience that you not only see every little pore and every little detail, but the visual experience of it is so different than anything you've seen in the theater because it is, you know, the way it's shot, that it kind of freaks you out a little bit. It kind of makes you experience it like almost like you're in it.
Yeah. And the word on the street, it's almost like watching a play, like it's just being performed live and you get the spatial distance between
characters.
That
freaked me out.
That's going to be cool.
That's upsetting.
Yeah. And I've read two reviews, one of them by a guy who I really respect, Owen Gleiberman, who's now with Variety, used to be with Entertainment Weekly, and he loved it. And then there was another review that they hated.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a polarizing film.
I guarantee it will be a polarizing film, but I'm excited to see it.
And it's a
anybody.
It's a
anybody.
It's a fall film, but I saw The Accountant, and it blew my mind.
Really?
The ending rivals the ending of The Usual Suspects. That it's the best representation of Asperger's in any film I've ever seen. Ben Affleck is a god in this movie. Like he deserves an award. But the twist and the storyline, the plot, it is a perfect film. And I'd say, other than, like, you know, the Star Wars-y type stuff, it's one of the top films I've seen in the last 5 or 6 years.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it with a group of people, and it was across the board. They were just dumbfounded at how good this movie was.
So I'm going to go see this movie on your recommendation. Am I going to be mad at you?
Mm-hmm. I promise you won't. And you're actually going to think, okay, wait a minute. How can I use this in therapy sessions when I talk about Asperger's?
Hmm. Julie and I saw it, and we both really liked it. We were surprised by how much we liked it. Now, I think there are some things that, the more you think about it, you step away, there are some things that don't necessarily hold up as well in the moment, but it's a really well-made movie, and it sucks you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'll have to check it out.
Anybody here excited about the Harry Potter World movie, Fantastic
Beasts? Yes, I can't wait, can't wait. I know everyone else is kind of like, but I mean, anytime we can kind of extend J.K. Rowling her world, I'm happy.
She's in need of money or notoriety, so it's good to throw her a bone.
Sure, she doesn't need either of those.
See, this proves my point. Harry Potter, fantastic books, that's great. Movies, fine. But it doesn't hold up to Star Wars. It's not going to affect the world's culture the way Star Wars did. And the proof is this movie, the magical monster, crazy, whatever thing that's coming out, there are people that are going to go see it, but it's not going to make $500 million.
I think Frank is feeling a little threatened by the Harry Potter universe here.
It's just find your interest in this film somewhat pitiful, maybe cute a little bit, but more pitiful. Like, look, she's really not bright. Okay, go watch.
Look at that. Another high-grossing film franchise.
Star Wars has nothing to do with Harry Potter.
Absolutely nothing, Frank.
It has nothing.
Yeah, this is like wizards.
I used to, when I was in high school, I would go to the movies with a group of friends, and one of them was another guy named Frank. His name is Frank Allgood.
Sounds like a great guy.
And every time we'd leave the movie, he would say, I liked 48 Hours better. The movie by Eddie. It was like the standard by which all other movies were compared.
You guys went and saw Sophie's Choice, and he comes out. It's like, I've liked 48 Hours better.
Right. So that's Frank. It's like, I like Star Wars better. It's like, it has nothing to do with the movie at all. Well, let's talk a little bit about movies that are going to get some award buzz. And one of the films that early on was getting buzz, but I think is really dropping out, is Birth of a Nation, because of the controversy around the director and star of it. But there are a lot of films that are kind of emerging as front runners. One of them is the movie that Jonathan already said, which is La La Land. If you go to the sites that kind of predict how this is going to go, La La Land is right now the front runner for Best Picture. Now, that's real early. You know, we're talking about late October, early November. But that's an early one. Another film that you're going to hear people talk about is Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be Oscar buzz about Casey Affleck, not Ben Affleck, for Best Picture. And he will be a contender, apparently. That's something that I didn't think we would see anytime soon, is Casey Affleck being in contention as a front runner for Best Actor. There's a film called Moonlight that you'll hear about. It's an independent film about an African-American man and his sort of coming to terms with himself and identity and his growing up. There's a sci-fi film called Arrival that will have some buzz. Martin Scorsese's Silence is going to be a movie you'll hear about. Denzel Washington's film called Fences is also a movie that you're going to hear a lot about. So, the only movie that has come out so far that I think has any shot at some legit Oscar buzz is a movie called Hell or High Water. So have any of you guys seen that?
Yeah,
no.
I saw that. I really liked it.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it. I think it's gonna peter out by the time, because it really is a very restrained film. Like, I mean, I think it's very disciplined in its storytelling and its singular vision. And it's not flashy. So it really is a great movie, but it doesn't draw attention to its greatness. And I just feel like when it comes to award season, they're so bombastic and over the top that I just fear it's going to get overlooked. But I mean, Julie and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I thought the performances were great. The story was great. I definitely want to encourage people to see it. So far, it's the best movie I've seen this year.
The early Oscar buzz on Rogue One is pretty big for Best Picture and Best Director. Mm. I'm pretty excited about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'd put my money.
Did we talk about Hacksaw Ridge by the new... Oh, God. What is his name?
Mel Gibson.
Yes, Mel Gibson. That person.
What's his name? It's amazing. As an up-and-comer.
No, it looks really good, and I'm excited to see him back in his directorial role, because we know he's a little controversial, but he's very talented, so I'm curious to see that one.
I think he's been in his movie purgatory for long enough that they're letting him out of the cage now, and he's going to be accepted back into good standing, I think, with this movie.
It's weird because I didn't know Spider-Man was in the war.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Okay.
Like, I was kind of thrown off by that.
Well, and the fact that he's got such a southern drawl.
Right.
You know, Andrew Garfield, and it's so over the top in the previews. I hope it's a little bit more nuanced.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think, to me, the thing I'm worried about that movie, I'm really interested. I probably will see it unless the reviews come out and then just completely lambast it. But I think it's going to be a little bit unsettling to watch a movie where the primary theme is heroism and pacifism. And Mel Gibson is known for excessive violence, like over the top, and I just don't know if he's going to be able to pull that off to where his execution really drowns out the message behind the movie.
But he could be a changed man.
Apparently it's a very, very graphically violent movie. I mean, that's one of the things that gives some people pause about the movie, is that it is incredibly graphic in its violence. So I don't know how that squares with a movie about pacifism.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. Let me ask you guys one more question before we wrap this up. Why do you think, with all the technology that we have, with being able to do home theater and with Netflix, with original programming, why are we still excited about movies that are coming out in the theater? Why is that an exciting thing? Because if you think about it, who wants to go sit by some smelly guy that's eating a lot of popcorn and kids that are squawking and all that kind of stuff? Why do we want to do it?
It's the experience. I mean, you walk in there and there's everyone, they're all excited about seeing this movie, and you get to see it on the big screen with all of the noise, the sound effects. It's the experience for me.
And now you can actually buy your seat in advance and decide where you want to sit so the big smelly guy isn't near you.
Well, I mean, even just at my age, there's still a nostalgic factor too. Like, there's nothing to me that's more I associate with entertainment and pop culture than going to the movies, getting candy and overpriced soda, sitting in the seat, watching the previews. I mean, the whole experience itself.
Yeah. You can't get that experience. Yeah. Even if you have a home theater, you can't. It's not the same.
The other thing I think that social media has actually helped with movies, even if it only helps it in that first weekend, is things can get so easily spoiled now. And so a movie, if you don't see it in the theater right away, then you actually have to make a concerted effort not to find out accidentally about a movie, its ending, what people really think about it. And so to me, it's like I want to see a movie on its opening weekend so that I don't have to navigate all of Twitter and Facebook and all of that, or Flipboard, so I don't find out too much about a film after it's been released.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's our doctor's orders, and this is the Shrink Tank Podcast.
Hey, Jonathan Hederle here, wanting to tell you all about the Shrink Tank website, shrinktank.com. And Frank, as I understand it, we have a great new video up on the website. Tell me about it.
It's hilarious. Just take Donald Trump and his locker room audio tapes and replace it with Darth Vader and Boba Fett in the shower, in the bathroom. And they're just talking trash about Princess Leia and how big Darth Vader's lightsaber is, and how they are just, Vader's just getting reamed by the Emperor. It's hilarious. And then Vader goes on a TV show to explain what he's done. And the best line is toward the end, where Vader says, "We're going to build a bigger Death Star. We're going to make it bigger. We're going to make it better. We can do it. And we're going to make the clones pay for it." And I thought that was hilarious. Great work by the Shrink Tank team. And you can check it out at shrinktank.com.
Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. Dave Verhagen, along with Jonathan Hederle, Emma Kate Wright, and Frank the Psych Weasel. And we wrap this all up with our doctor's orders. These are things that we're personally enjoying in pop culture. Jonathan, what do you have for us?
So last week I talked about the Paul Simon book that I'm reading and thoroughly enjoying. When I bought that, I also got another book that I'm really excited to read. It's called In Such Good Company, 11 Years of Laughter, Mayhem, and Fun in the Sandbox, written by Carol Burnett, and it's about her talking about the Carol Burnett Show and funny anecdotes and stories of some of the most famous skits. I love that show, probably one of the top five TV shows on my list, so I'm super excited to jump into that.
I definitely will read that book. I have been watching a TV show called Atlanta, and it's by Donald Glover, aka the Childish Gambino. And I will say it is not for everybody's taste. It is an odd TV show in a lot of ways, but there's something kind of special and magical about it. It kind of draws you in this weird way. It almost has this, in some ways, almost like a dreamlike or surreal quality to it. It is a comedy, but it is not like any comedy that you've seen. It is not always laugh out loud funny, but it is a very unique experience. So I definitely, for the right people, I'm recommending that you watch Atlanta. How about you, Emma Kate?
Mine is actually a gadget. It's called Yaki Tag. It's spelled Y-O-K-Y. And I am constantly losing my things. And you actually can customize this, but it's a little small wireless tag that you can attach to your keys. You can attach it to a wallet, basically up to anything. And whenever you move far enough away from the tag, it's done through your phone. It actually notifies you and it will make a noise. And the same goes for your phone. So if you misplace your phone, I feel like I'm 80 talking about this, but I was really excited about it. I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm not going to lose my stuff. So basically, whatever. Check it out. I think it's cool.
Oh, boy. Jeez.
And you, Frank?
I was going to recommend a reread of Stephen King's 651-page Salem's Lot, but I was talked into talking about and recommending my underwear instead. As you all may not know, I'm a fan of Howard Stern, and he always recommends Tommy John underwear. And I decided, hey, there's Tommy John underwear, and they're fantastic. They don't give you a wedgie. They feel good. And I highly recommend Tommy John underwear.
And Frank, tell us how much you paid for your underwear.
I will not.
Tell us how much.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Heather.
Tell us how much.
Goodbye, Heather. Goodbye.
Too much.
When Frank goes to his new planet or island, he will have a lifetime supply of the underwear there.
Yes.
Because he can afford it.
Because he can. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Shrink Tank Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Shrink Tank Talk, or you can like us on Facebook by searching for the Shrink Tank Podcast. And of course, you can check us all out on shrinktank.com. We've all written articles and have videos about all kinds of cool things in popular culture. Our engineer and audio wizard is Zach Brown. Our theme music was composed by Sean Beck. For Emma Kate Wright, Jonathan Hederle, and Frank Gaskell, I'm Dave Verhagen. Have a great week.